I have heard it said, I do not agree with it, but I've heard it said that the firstborn child is always regarded special because firstborn. And the last child born is always special because last born. And any child that gets born in between first and last, they say just sort of gets left out. I don't agree. I was an only child, so I could not run the test from my own experience. But I had three children. And I don't think I ever considered my first, my second, or my third any different one from another. I don't think I did. It was never a matter of consideration to me when they were born. It's the way I treated them or what I gave them. I tried to do my best. I only have one sitting here to say, well, you gave me in or not. But the point is, I did my best to treat all of them the same. I still feel the same about all three of my children. I've heard of some who would give their children aliases, like you have three sons, this is son number one. That's the name. Son number two. Son number three. Well, that's not the boy's name, but that's what he was called by regarding the way his father addressed him. Now, in the Roman society, there was no special recognition given to the child firstborn, but not so in the Hebrew nation. And it seemed that God is the one that decreed this and declared that there would be a distinction between the firstborn child and every other child born in that family. He even said the firstborn belonged to him, whatever that meant. As to why he differentiated between the firstborn and all the others, I have absolutely no idea. How can I give you an answer? Today, that still remains to me a mystery. What is so special about the firstborn in the eyes of God? I don't know. Even the firstborn animal was special. And God remains consistent from the beginning of the Bible to the end on this very subject. And it concerns that we get our next title, our next name, our next alias. It differentiates, again, one of our special distinctions. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 23. If you go to verse 22, you'll find that the author of Hebrews is taking us to heaven and in letting you see who you'll find there. He introduces you to the various persons that you'll find in heaven. He says, first of all, as you come into the city, Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, first thing you come to is an innumerable company of angels. Number one, I guess you can call these persons. Next, he says, you come to the General Assembly, and here's the alias now, the Church of the Firstborn. Have you ever been called that? Church of the Firstborn. And that's what we are. Well, what does it mean? So that's the second group of people you'll find in heaven right now if you went there, the Church of the Firstborn. All those who are members of the body of Christ who have now gone on to heaven. Next, you'll come to God. You expect to meet him there, wouldn't you? God the Father, who is the judge of all. Then you'll come to the spirits of the just men made perfect. We assume that would be the Old Testament saints, those not a part of the church. And then last of all, you'll find Jesus there, the mediator of the new covenant. And so these would be the groups of people that you would find in heaven. Of interest to us in this list, of course, is only one, that is the Church of the Firstborn. We add this alias now to the ones we've already studied, children of light, God's husbandry, peculiar people, living stones, and holy priesthood, all of which most Christians would flunk a test if you gave it to them on those subjects, because we never hear those things used in referring to the church. Now, to begin with, in God's eyes, now, all right, there are no in-between children. Please follow me. As we look at the new covenant, every child of God is a firstborn. Now, I know that doesn't make sense, and I can't explain to you. I thought about this. Do you think there had to be a firstborn Christian? Was there someone who started the family of God? Was there someone who was born again, the very first person? I kind of feel like there had to be a first. Somewhere you have to start the church. You have to start it with somebody, and you're going to end it with somebody. Now, you say, well, there were 12 disciples. Maybe all 12 of them said, I accept you at one time. So you have 12 firstborn at once. I don't know. I just throw this out for whatever you want to do with it. If there was a first, then that person would say, I was firstborn. But the second one born would say, oh, no, I'm firstborn. I don't know where I came in the list. I have no idea. I may have been 20 million and six, but I still have the right to say I was firstborn. I say that because he says that. The church are all called the firstborn. I don't care how many people you put in the church. Why is this so important that God wants us called firstborn? What difference does it make? Again, back to the Roman culture, if you were firstborn, a secondborn, a thirdborn, it didn't make any difference because you all received the same consideration and the same inheritance. Not so among the Jews. Again, it was God's decree that the firstborn be given a double portion of the inheritance. Why? He does not tell us why. He never explains the reason that the first son is given, or the first daughter, I guess, is given a double portion. And it's a waste of time to debate with God the fairness of this, because I know a lot of folks will say it's not fair. God does tell us that's the way it is. That was part of the law. And the firstborn was entitled to more than the others. Yet God left room to rearrange, in a sense, the actual birth order, which again is very puzzling. A secondborn or a fifthborn could end up getting the firstborn birthright. And you have an illustration of this, of course, with Jacob's 12 boys. You have Reuben, firstborn, entitled to the double portion. And it came time for Jacob to dispense the inheritance. God said, Reuben's out. Because Reuben had disqualified himself by an adulterous affair with one of Jacob's wives. And instead of the firstborn getting the double portion, God moves down the line to boy number 11 and says, he shall be given the double portion. The 11th born boy was Joseph, and he got the double portion. That makes no sense at all. But God gave it to him and declared him the firstborn right. The story of Esau and Jacob. The two boys wrestling in the womb as to who is going to be firstborn. The story, you know, goes Esau was firstborn, and Jacob wanted that birthright. And when Rebekah prayed about this, the two boys in her womb, God told her, the secondborn boy will rule over the firstborn boy. But Rebekah couldn't trust God to pull that off. She did not want to take any chances, as you remember, and so she and Jacob contrived to trick old Isaac, Papa, and get the birthright through hook or crook for Jacob. It would have come to Jacob anyway, as it came to Joseph anyway. But Rebekah and Jacob could not do it God's way. So there again, God was going to give the birthright to the one that didn't get born first. Don't understand all this. But the point needs to be made, the one getting the firstborn inheritance gets the best deal. I guarantee you. He gets more of everything. He gets more to rejoice over than all the others. And you cannot talk about this term firstborn without also talking about the subject of inheritance. Because the two are absolutely interlocked. They're inseparable. One deals with the other. Now, when we talk about the church of the firstborn, I believe the purpose of this is to keep wonder alive in our life. You ever heard the saying, I wonder where the wonder went? The wonder seems to disappear from a Christian's life pretty quick. The excitement of being a Christian. The excitement of remaining loyal to Christ. We lose the wonder of it all. I think this title, this name, this alias reminds us of the surprises. Like Christmas time. When I mention Christmas to a child, the thing a child thinks of is surprises. Oh, the wonder of Christmas is a gift that I do not know anything. It's an inheritance that I'm going to get from somebody. The wonder is, I wonder what I'm going to get as my inheritance. Do you ever wonder about that? So with us is, when we look around, you can say, well, I know what daddy's got, and I know what mama's got, and I know what I can inherit. I can just go down the list of their inventory, and I know what they got.
However, with God, you don't know.
I wonder what's in his inheritance. Do you have any idea? Have you seen it? Have you inventoried what God has in store for those who are firstborn? No. He won't even give you a hint. At my right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. What are they? I'm not going to tell you. Surprise. I'll surprise you. That's the inheritance. And so this, I think, title should stir up within us a continual curiosity. It's sad when you and I lose our curiosity in the inheritance. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. I have a number of verses tonight to read to you. They all deal with inheritance. This is going to be our key verse tonight. Verse 16 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's another difficult text to explain. How does the Holy Spirit reveal to my spirit I'm a child of God? Then he says, and if we are children, big if now, if we are children, then we're heirs. I'm going to change this. We are firstborn heirs. That makes a difference because we're going to get a double portion. Keep that in mind. I'm going to tell you what I think the double portion is. The double portion is a lot better than the first portion. Just one portion. All right? And if children, by the way, the Old Testament saints will get one portion. We are the church. We'll get a double portion. See, among the redeemed, you got the Old Testament saints. They weren't part of the church. They're not going to get the double portion. You know, what is it? All right? Get your wonder up. Get your curiosity up. All right? If children, firstborn children, then you're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And he goes, if you therefore suffer because of your relationship to him, don't worry about it. You're going to be glorified with him also. Heirship follows sonship or childship. The verse does not say, if creatures of God's creation, then heirs. That's what a lot of folks say. Well, everybody is a child of God. Everybody is a creation of God. No, a creation, yes. But it says here, if, implying not everybody's a child, if children, then heirs. Doesn't say if children of Abraham, Jews, then heirs. Doesn't say that. And that would upset the Jewish people, but I'm sorry, that's not what it said. If children firstborn, then heirs. Not if children of Abraham. Doesn't say if good, then heirs. It says if children by special birth, then heirs. What kind of birth? A new birth, which I think you all understand. This inheritance is designed, follow me now, is designed and suited only for those who are given a new kind of birth. They're the only ones that can do anything with it. They're the only ones that can enjoy it. They're the only ones that can have it. It's an inheritance made just for those twice born and those who are firstborn. Twice born, firstborn. What contradictory terms? Galatians 3. We'll come back to Romans, so kind of hold your finger there if you'd like to or whatever you want to do. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. If you be in Christ, I'm going to give you another alias. I don't know what to do with it. You are Abraham's seed. That's another alias. I won't preach on that one. Abraham's seed. You say, you mean I'm a Jew? Well, we'll get to that later on if I can figure out what to say about it. If you be in Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. I've never heard a Christian say, oh, you're Abraham's seed. Have you ever heard a Christian call that? That's what Paul says. You're Abraham's seed. I think that means a Jew. No. And he says, because you're Abraham's seed and because you be in Christ, then you are heirs according to the promise. The promise is that he will give the firstborn an inheritance. You're an heir. So I'm in there. I will get my portion, as will all others, firstborn. Also Galatians 4, chapter 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if you are a son, then you are an heir of God through Jesus Christ. You always become an heir through Christ. You cannot get any other way to become an heir. Now go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 17, where we started. Mention I said to you that the firstborn gets a double portion. The first portion, which I think all there have. Notice, again, verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Now, notice what you first are heirs of. Strange statement. You are heirs of God. You are heirs of God. Sounds strange to inherit a person. You've heard of people say, well, you inherited the household, but you got to take the man's wife with it. What? That was the Hebrew custom too. Remember the story of Ruth? Well, you had to inherit the wife with it. And so we find here that I inherit a person. I can't skip this inheritance. Not that I'd want to. What I do is inherit God the Father himself. Look at Revelation 21:3. Hold your place here again. We'll come back again to this Romans chapter. Revelation 21:3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Sad to say, there are some people who say, well, I wouldn't mind just having heaven. You can leave God out. It doesn't matter to me if I don't see God until I see my loved ones. I don't care whether God's there or not. Let me tell you, when you inherit the inheritance that God has in store for you, he's part of it. God the Father says, you're going to inherit me. Numbers chapter 18, verse 20. Numbers chapter 18, verse 20. When you take Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit and you also get the Father. And the Lord spoke to Aaron. This is the priest's family. Thou shalt have no inheritance in the land. Notice the last part of the verse. I am your inheritance. How about that? I am your inheritance. That's what God says to us. Who are what? We are now the priesthood. Just as Aaron was in the tribe of Levi. We are now. And what does he say? I am your inheritance. Now it's hard for us to put all this into our mind and understand it. But when I get the Father as my inheritance, what do I get? Well, I get all of his attributes working for me throughout eternity. I get his wisdom forever to direct me. I need his power forever to sustain and preserve me. I get his goodness to thrill me. I get his love to embrace me. I get all of the assets of his attributes that you and I depend on now. I'll have them then. I'll inherit a fellowship with the Father I have not yet experienced and cannot experience outside of his presence in heaven. I wish I knew how to say more about this inheritance of God the Father, him being my inheritance. I already have Christ as my inheritance. I already have a spirit in me living and is my inheritance. But the Father says, yes, but you're going to also get me. You're going to also get me. Don't understand all there is about that. But that's double portion. Portion number one. Second portion, back to Romans 8:17. If children, then heirs. And number one, you're heirs of God. Number two, you'll be joint heirs with Christ. This is almost unbelievable. I'm not quite sure I understand. I know I don't understand about the inheritance that God the Father will give his Son. In my way of thinking, it'll be something that the Son never had throughout all eternity as God the Son. He went back to the heaven from which he came and, of course, regained everything he had left. But I think the inheritance the Father has for the Son is something that the Son never had. Now, I'm just stepping way out here into speculation. A special inheritance that he has for his Son because of his Son's willingness to come to earth, die upon the cross, and become a Savior of mankind. Jesus talks about the joy that's set before him, enabling him to endure the cross. What is this joy? I think it's the inheritance. What is it? I don't know. I know this, that he will share every bit of it with me. Joint heir means whatever you get, I get. Can you believe that? The inheritance that God the Father is going to give his Son because of what his Son did, the Son says you can share it with me. Equal, 50-50. Whatever I get is yours. Man, that's a big offer. What is it? I don't know. I don't know it. Will Jesus enjoy it? The Father thinks so. If Jesus will enjoy it, will I enjoy it? I guarantee you I will. I guarantee you I will. But I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But the firstborn is a joint heir. That's the second portion, the second part of the blessing. And unless he had told us this in Scripture, I would have never assumed that whatever the Father gives the Son, he'll give you. I never assumed that. I'd always thought Jesus is going to have more in glory than I will. He will, but he'll share it with me. I don't get an inheritance. I just get in on his inheritance. Can you think that? Just think, if you got an inheritance of $1 million, and then your wife said, oh, but I can get half of it. He says, no, you can have all of it. We'll just share it together. Now, isn't that something? That's what we're talking about here. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Verse 1 talks about God at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past with the fathers, but the prophets hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed to be heir of all things. What do you mean all things? Is he going to get everything God could ever think of to give him? I don't know. He's heir of all things. Then if you will, at Revelation 21:7. Keep that in mind. He's heir of all things. Verse 27. Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit, now notice, all things. I'll be his God and he shall be my son. Same all things. There are great inheritance that God has for his son and he therefore has for me. Now you think about it. God has a great imagination. Just look at our earth. Just think about this. Great imagination. He has great power. He has tremendous resources. Just think what he could do. And he's going to prepare an inheritance for his son. If you had the power of the Father and the imagination and the resources, what would you give your son for what he did to make possible the salvation of sinners? What would you give him? If you had unlimited imagination and power, I don't know. I have no idea. But I do know it says he's promised a new heaven and a new earth. What's it going to be like? To begin with, it's going to be designed for Christ's delight. Okay? Whatever would make Christ happy will be there. Nothing shall be spared. But it's also the very same thing that'll make me happy. I'll be as much interested in his inheritance as his son will be. Why? Because we will share in his resurrected body. I will have a body like unto his. A body that is glorified, free of death, free of sickness, free of pain, free of weakness, free of suffering. Now, when God created this earth, follow me now, he made, I think, the best earth possible to suit the human body. When he got through each day, he said, and it is good. I'm going to go on and say it is as good as it can be, as I can do for man. Jesus had a hand in that creation. Question for you to speculate on. Will he have a hand in the creation of the new heaven and new earth? Or will that be a surprise creation of the Father for the Son as a part of his inheritance? Just throw this out for you to wonder about. But I'll say this, the new earth and the new heaven will be suited for glorified bodies like unto that of Christ and like unto ours. It'll have a uniqueness all its own. It'll have a beauty all its own. And all I can say is, oh, the wonder of it all. We've seen this earth from a human viewpoint, but what's it going to be like for a glorified person? Different kind of body. Will there be different kind of trees and animals and birds and fish and flowers? What do you want all those things for? Why did God put them on this earth for Adam? He didn't need them either. Didn't have to have them. Well, they added to the beauty of the earth. What about the new earth? What will God put on it? Whatever it is, everything there, we can say, ah, that's part of my inheritance. I don't call the bird flying by the sky, that's part of my inheritance. But this I will. Every bird, every flower, that's part of my inheritance. Made just for the Son, and the Son says, share it with me. It's kind of exciting to me. I don't know about you. Ephesians chapter 3. Of chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Talking about spiritual blessings. They're the best blessings God can give. They're the only kind of blessings you're going to have in the inheritance. They'll be all spiritual blessings. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We have a rich God. We're going to have a rich inheritance. What do you expect to get from a rich God? Nothing but a rich inheritance. How rich is he? The richest person in the universe. What kind of inheritance would the richest person in the universe give his son? The richest in the world. And who will share that with the son? The church of the firstborn. Boy, we have exciting times ahead, people. Really, we do. We'll guarantee 100% satisfaction. Not a day will go by that you are bored, discontent, displeased. Every day, I call it a day of wonder. We'll never lose the wonder of the inheritance. It'll dazzle our mind. It'll dazzle our attention throughout all eternity. It's an inheritance that is incorruptible. It won't change. I thought about this. Will it ever get better? Will it ever get worse? I don't know. It'll never get better. You mean it's going to be as good as it can get when you hit it first time. When you first put your foot up on the new earth, it's as good as it's going to get. It won't get better, and it won't get worse. It's incorruptible. It won't change. An inheritance that does not diminish. It's also an inheritance that's undefiled. By that I mean there'll never be any sin to introduce into this land misery or to wreck its beauty as it happened on this earth. We are the church of the firstborn. We have an inheritance that is the wonder of all the wonders. We have a double blessing. We have a double portion. We have a promise of inheriting the person of the Father and the promise of the joint heir with Christ inheritance shared with us. Father, we're thankful tonight for this name that you have given us and for this firstborn privilege to inherit a double portion because of our relationship to Christ. Truly, Father, we are thankful tonight that we stand on the threshold of this new heaven and this new earth and of all this inheritance that you have designed for your Son. May we keep the wonder in our minds and in our hearts as we anticipate our being there in Jesus' name. Amen.